Aloha, everybody. I'm Rima.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Paige.
And this is Strange Indeed, a podcast dedicated to the show Lock and Key.
Today we're covering the second episode of season 3, Wedding Crashers.
No Owen Wilson or Vince Vaughn. Didn't happen. That's some missed cameos for the two soldiers.
That would have been hilarious had Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn come out of like the shadows.
Were those? Yeah, he's just like gets the echo key. He's like, Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn is still alive. Oh, crap. Those two same guys, were they in the show last season as his underlings?
I'll be honest.
I don't know.
I'll be honest. I did not go look and rewatch, but I thought I remembered when they were like back in those days were at the house with Benjamin Locke and all that was going on. I believe he had a couple of soldiers with him. I just don't remember their names.
Probably
or what they
doesn't
look like,
matter so. If they're the same guys, but I was curious.
I feel like that's probably the same ones because he's like, they're like, you know, where are we? When are we? We're at the home of Benjamin Locke. And he was saying it like they would know who he was talking about. So I assume, but I didn't go look. So what'd you guys think about this episode?
I thought it was a pleasant episode. I think the villains are pretty villainy and uninteresting, but and also there's not a lot of conflict yet. It's a lot of setup and seeds planted, but I so love the vibe of the show and the kind of delight of the magic that's enough to keep me really enjoying it. So I really enjoyed it. I could see myself being really critical of an episode like this if I didn't just like the feel of it and the characters and the way, you know, it just makes me feel.
Good. Paige, I'm actually, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, that sums it up really well. I fully agree where I was thinking. I was like, not a lot happened. And it is one of those, like, you know, that's the problem of kind of going in knowing, you know, we talk about that, like expectations and stuff being like, it's the final season. We only have 8 episodes. What story they're going to tell? And it's like, okay, well, that's 2 episodes down. That's, you know, a quarter of it done. And it's like, what's happening? Nothing's happening. But like he said, these characters are so fun to watch. And like I said, just the vibe of the show just really brings you in to where whatever's going on, you care about or at least enjoy watching. So it's not bad, but it's also like, okay, but I don't know where they're going to go with this season. I still have no idea what the threat is really going to be, what they're supposed to be fighting against, what's going to happen. But, you know, I will choose to trust them and see what happens and see where
I feel like, you know, the show opened with their father dying and they've gone through a lot over the first 2 seasons. And I almost still feel like, when they're experiencing a happy time, like they, for the most part, did in this episode, I'm still kind of relieved for them. So there's that, you know, like I'm not itching for them to suffer or something.
Right.
It's kind of nice when they're just enjoying life and Duncan's back to normal and getting married. And that was really nice.
Rima,
yeah.
What'd you think?
I mean, I if I just step back, and because I feel like I'm getting a little bit more critical, and maybe that's because I know it's the final season a little bit, and I'm just hoping, I guess, that they, you know, kind of get us to the end in a satisfying way. And so I find myself getting frustrated at points, and this episode, it just felt like it didn't have a lot of like direction, I guess, but I think it set some things up moving forward. It just feels like we don't have a lot of time to waste. I mean, it's a final season. We've only got 8 episodes and this is already the second episode. So I was getting a little bit frustrated, and then a little frustrated with some of the character decisions like I normally do. But I did enjoy.
I felt that too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad I'm not alone, entirely alone then. But I mean, I did enjoy, you know, Duncan being back. I think it's good to see him, you know, because he looks a little lighter, you know, this season. I mean, he's always been a great character, but, now that he remembers magic and he doesn't seem to not enjoy being at Key House, he just seems like a lighter presence. And it was good to see him happy and with his partner Brian, you know, getting ready for their wedding and doing all the fun little things, and they have a fun little banter. And I feel like we haven't got to see those two on screen a lot together, because I guess Brian always traveled while he worked and Duncan was staying there at Key House with the family and stuff. So it was good to see them on screen, and I thought that was fun, you know, and seeing the wedding and seeing some happiness. You know, I feel maybe, you know, depending on how the rest of the season goes, maybe we won't get too much of it, right? You know, I feel like because it can get dark at times, and, you know, we know some things are going to happen. So it was good to see some, you know, some love in the air and, you know, some lighthearted moments and everyone kind of having a little bit of fun. Yeah. So there were those
like,
parts.
Because like when Nina and Josh kissed, I was like, oh, they're back together. That's really nice. And then I was like, it can only go downhill from here.
Exactly. Like, as soon as everyone starts being happy, well, then look out, because you know what's around the corner, right?
But you were saying, you know, the final season, kind of both of you, and we don't have much time left and stuff. But I just keep thinking about how the showrunners did not know this was the final season. So I'm really trying not to expect it to feel like the best ending for this series. You know, if it does, awesome, but I don't think they were planning for that.
I know. And I don't know how to let go of that. I think I'm just so nervous. I know, and I'm trying to just appreciate the moments, but man, it's tough, because I feel like it won't get there. I really wish they would consider. I haven't heard anything, and I'll just tell everyone now, I don't have any news for this week, because again, anything that's out there, it's everything about the ending. And obviously I don't want to know any of that yet. So I really wish that they would consider if this was something that they felt they, like, Netflix just wanted to cancel for whatever reason, and this is something the writers did not anticipate or think was going to happen. I really wish maybe they'd consider maybe doing a movie. I don't know if
it needs,
you know,
it.
I know that
if it ends up if needing it, it, yeah,
if it needs it, you know, I know it can be difficult to get everyone back together. There's the, you know, having to write something, produce, get everyone together, schedules, things like that. So I don't know if that's practical or not, but it'd be nice if that were something in the mix, if it doesn't end somewhat satisfactory.
Look at something like Deadwood, what it took like 10 years to finally actually get a movie done.
Bodhi's like a big man. Carlton Cuse's name has been coming up as one of the creators of this 5 days at Memorial, Life and Death in a Storm Ravaged Hospital. I guess it's a show coming up on Apple TV Plus about Hurricane Katrina, and it's getting a lot of heat right now, so feels like he's like moved on, you know. Then again, he's worked on several shows at once before, so who knows?
Yeah,
right. I saw that too, because I was trying to find some news without getting too spoiled. So I thought, well, I'll look at Carlton Cuse. Maybe there will be some kind of interview like prior to, or won't have anything that's spoilery. And it just kept coming up. Carlton Cuse talks about the ending, and I'm like, okay, well, Carlton Cuse says, never mind.
I'm sorry, I killed off Bodhi.
Yeah, I was like, okay, so not gonna click on that article. But as I was looking, I saw a lot about that show that you just mentioned. So I was like, oh, so he's definitely got other things in the works. And I don't know if that, like you said, moving on, or that means he could work on multiple projects. But either way, yeah, I saw the same. So I don't know. We'll see. But trying to appreciate, but I know I'm probably going to sound fairly critical, at least of this episode a little bit, but I'm going to try to be positive. So let's go ahead and start digging into our top points. So Jason, you went first last week. Paik, why don't you go first this week?
All right. First point, I want to talk about the time shift key.
All right.
This clock here. It is, I think I mentioned it last season during like a comic talk or something about different keys probably, and storylines. Yeah. I think I did. And so I was
last
really
episode I was saying I think there's something coming up from the comics, but I don't want to say what it is, and this is what it was.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah, so I was really excited to see it on screen. It is a little different. There's some very distinct differences on how it works on the show versus the comics. I might hold off on that until a comic section later.
Okay.
But I am interested to see how it comes into play in the major arc of the story this season. I'm sure it will. You don't introduce time travel and then make it not matter to something.
Exactly. It's Chekhov's key at the moment.
And since Nina has the key, Gideon will have it pretty soon.
Yeah, I was going to say, she won't be in the log's hands for much longer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was cool to see, of course, Bodhi being the one to find it. He seems to be really the only one. Like, Kinsey found a couple. Like, she found the Angel Keen stuff last season. But typically it is Bodhi who's finding all the really cool stuff. So it was, of course, it was cool for him to find this. And then to see, you know, Bodhi's had a couple of emotional moments, but it was cool to kind of get what he got out of this. Of course, starting off super excited about, like, oh, I can time travel and I can see this. And then seeing, you know, him get the idea of, oh, I can see my dad, even if he's a teenager. And then kind of the heartbreak that follows with that and him kind of panicking and how do I get back? How do I do? I think he handled that really well and did that really well. Like, talking about, like, Jackson Robert Scott, you know, and just kind of his, you know, portrayal there, to see, you know, those little emotional beats with Bodhi. And we got another one with him a little bit later, which I'm intrigued by. Maybe we'll talk about that. But yeah, it was cool to see him go through that with Jamie. Jamie was back. Although it hasn't been too long since I've seen that actress, because she's also MM's daughter on The Boys. So I'm seeing her on it too.
Oh, I'm so behind. I didn't know she was on there. Yeah. She's so cute. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the first time he uses it kind of accidentally, just flipping switches, yeah, he goes back to colonial era, meets Benjamin and Miranda Locke. She's there about 3 minutes, which then in the what Jamie says is it's kind of like he just disappeared and then reappeared. So similar but different to the comics again. I'm sure I'll get to that later. but you know, while he's there, he learns of the Harlequin chest that is indestructible once locked. So it kind of planted that seed for the episode. And then the second time, him and Jamie travel together and wind up, based on my understanding of Roman numerals, I paused it and looked at what he was setting. It looked like February 14th, 1994 was what he set it to, where they meet young Duncan.
Oh, I was trying to read that, but I was just, for some reason, I didn't think to look at it as month, day, and year. I was just trying to look at it as all one number, but since some X's came before some M's, which doesn't happen in Roman numerals, I was like, I don't get this. I'm not even going to try. But okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That would make sense then why he would ask if Brenda and Dylan got back together.
If it's Valentine's Day.
It's around, yeah. Well, yeah, and it's 1994. That's around it's that 94. Time.
Yeah. And Clinton was on TV, so I knew it was in the 90s somewhere. Mm. So, yeah.
That's where they meet Duncan, who's drawing. And a little thing to catch, as you see, like, the little coffee mug that's sitting next to Duncan on the table while he's drawing, it's a Aloha mug, which is just a fun little nod. just a little thing to throw in. And, yeah, you say, of course, Duncan's wanting to know about future stuff and pop culture things and whatever. And then, yeah, when Bodhi realizes, well, where's my dad? And then when he sees him coming in and wants to use this opportunity to see Rendell again. But, you know, as Rendell's walking into the door, time runs out and they're taken back, which was really kind of sad. I was like, oh, Bodhi can't win. And then they run into Duncan in present day when they're back. And, of course, he knows all about it. Him and Rendell had played with the time shift key. He's saying that he kind of hoped that they wouldn't have found this one. It's too unpredictable. And then when Bodhi asks him, oh, you know, well, I went back and I saw a younger you. Do you remember seeing me in the past? He goes, that's not how this key works, buddy. So then I was getting to think, okay, so how does it work? And I'm assuming it's kind of a pocket dimension where you can see and interact with the past, but only in that little bubble. It's not actually affecting the real past events that happened. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a, pocket dimension where it's like, this is that past, but it's a separate version of that past that only exists in the 3 or 4 minutes while you're there.
It could be that. It could also just be that the people you interacted with forget you.
Yeah. So I kind of put it in lock and key terms. It's an echo of a past time or past event.
You know? I mean, we're going to be having more time travel discussions this season, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, can't wait. I always do really well with time travel and stuff.
We can't wait.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be fun, but it's just like trying to figure it out or understand. And and I guess that's why it didn't matter so much, because I guess it kind of bothered me a little bit when Bodhi's like, "Hi, I'm Bodhi, I'm from the future." And I'm like, "That's never what you say." You never like,
I was proud of him, because usually in that situation, you wouldn't give the information that's going to make it okay. But because they're in this house with these magic keys, he just blurted right out, "I'm your ancestor. I'm from the future. I used a key to get here." And they're like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah. Like, I do like this. Job, like, we don't have a time travel key. And he's like, not yet. But it makes sense.
I mean, it was the right thing to say. You know, they really, especially with Duncan, he's like, "Oh, that's so cool." And then started asking all these questions. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't going to tell you guys, but I'm actually from the future. And the time travel discussions we're going to have are going to be actually pretty awesome. So,
good. I'm looking forward to it. I'll let you take the lead on them since you've done them before. Yeah, but yeah, that's really all I wanted to talk about was just this time shift key and then the clock and the introduction of it. It's one of my favorites from the comic. I mean, like the entire fifth volume of the comics is basically just time travel. So it's a big part of the comic storyline. So to see it on screen and see how they use it, I'm excited and intrigued.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it opens up possibilities for revisiting characters who we've lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Good and bad.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Jason, what's your first point?
Keys and carelessness. So, just some things related to the keys. I think this is the first time we've learned that echoes have no blood and are impervious to pain and physical suffering. I mean, we knew they couldn't die, but I don't know if we knew they don't feel pain, which is interesting. And it made me wonder if they also don't feel pleasure then, which would be pretty miserable. I think they do, but I don't know, you know? Because pleasure is sort of on a continuum with pain in a way. It's sensation, you know?
Yeah.
I guess I'm probably thinking too hard about it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about, I mean, the only other echo we've seen really is
Lucas.
Dodge. And, you know, as the form of Lucas, Dodge, Gabe, whatever form.
Right. And Dodge was having sex with people, seeming to enjoy it. Dodge also, did Dodge seem to feel pain sometimes? Probably. Yeah. I don't think this tracks.
I think the only, it was like the only pain maybe is like when dealing with like trying to take keys or something at first. I don't know. You have to think back to like season one to like,
I know,
see if that tracks. Yeah.
I know. The plant key, Nina just puts the plant key down and forgets about it. And I'm like, dude, you are so careless with these keys. And, you know, earlier in the show, I kind of got it because it was all fun and magic. But with everything that's happened and what they've learned and been through, they should be more careful. And of course, one of the soldiers finds the key. And so now Gideon, and I'm sure they'll use it in some interesting way, but Gideon has the echo key, anywhere key, and plant key, right? Didn't get any other keys.
Yeah, I think that's
tried, failed for now. The time shift key, so cool. Like, I mean, it was kind of interesting. They found it right as they're supposed to be in the middle of this wedding. And and they're like, let's just use it a couple times. Like, even though we got this whole thing going on, I don't know if I could resist either. Of course, then there's the critical part of me that's like, you got to be careful. You don't even know what you're doing. You're just flipping these dials around and turning the key. I would love to use this one. Based on last night's Better Call Saul, this would just blow Walter White's mind. He wouldn't be able to handle it. I'm glad you mentioned about the control, because I was mystified. But if it's like, I got to go back and look now. But it's Roman numerals, and we know for sure you can set the date and maybe time, and then you set how long you're going to be there with that last one.
Yeah.
And that was on Roman numeral 3. So I was thinking, how high could that possibly go? I think the highest single digit Roman numeral is M, which is for 1,000. And you can put three of those together for 3,000. So maybe if there's an MMM, that would be 3,000 minutes, which is 50 hours or 2 days and 2 hours. So maybe that's the longest. You can go to another time frame. Just speculation. I wonder if, yeah, you can bring things back. What if you grab something or a person? Could you bring a person into your time frame? Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how that goes. I liked how the world behind him just kind of shifted and faded into the new place and time.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. Then let's see. He found himself with Miranda and Benjamin Locke, who we saw last season, brother and sister. Benjamin, I think, was the one who first made magic keys. Mm-hmm. He found the portal and made the first key was to lock it, built a whole door and locked it. And I think the whole point of that scene was, yeah, just to learn about the Harlequin chest, I guess. Feels like a video game, this show sometimes. And then another key thing, Gideon finds Duncan's book with illustrations of all the keys. And I'm like, oops, that's kind of like a guidebook for him. And one said also good for key storage. Was that the mending cabinet?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why they were trying to break into it later. So he said, go find this cabinet.
Yeah.
All the keys are basically like he found this journal and Bodhi's like, by the way, all the keys you're looking for are in this location.
In this place.
Have fun.
Yeah. Where the mending key is. I don't know if we know, but yeah, I guess so all the other keys are there.
Yeah. I think Kinsey
was wearing a key at the wedding. I don't know. It was hard to see the detail, but that might have been.
Because the
I know
one
she had the
showed,
chain key at
yeah,
the wedding.
Yeah, she had the chain key.
She carries
that around in case she needs to use
it. Yeah, the last time the mending cabinet was used was in the first episode after the fight with the sisters. Kinsey's putting some of the like furniture and the clock and things that were broken in their struggle.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
So she was the last one to use it last episode.
That's cool. And then, I forgot to mention, so young Duncan, I thought he looked a bit like Tyler, definitely a family resemblance there. And I love that he was just, he got excited about the time travel thing so fast. Just got over the weirdness of it because they have these magic keys and this kind of stuff happens all the time. And he had some questions for Bodhi, which Bodhi didn't answer. But I'm going to answer. What year is it where you guys are from? I think it's 2012 in current day lock and key time. What am I doing there? You're about to get married to this cool dude named Brian, which may surprise him or maybe not. Oh, I came out, huh? Good. Do the Red Sox ever win a World Series? Yeah, 2004, 2007, 2013, and 2018. So he's got...
He'd be happy right? there.
Yeah, he's got some stuff to look forward to. Do Dylan and Brenda get back together? I don't know, but probably because it seems like they broke up and got back together a bunch of times. And then Bodhi comes back, but wants to go back and see his dad right away. And then he flips some more, like, why do you flip? If you want to go back and you already know you're going to go to that time.
Yeah, don't change the dates. I don't think he got a
maybe
grasp
change
on
that
what
last
the dates
one
were.
To give yourself a little more time. Or maybe he wanted to, when he's older, you know, see him when he's a little older. But he doesn't know how it works. So that
just press buttons and see what happens.
Yeah. Go back and see my dad. Oh, dinosaurs. Whoops. And then last thing about the keys, I approve of Duncan taking the time shift key from Bodhi, at least in the meantime, but I don't approve of him giving it to Nina. I mean, she's not a lock by blood, but also she just leaves keys lying around or just uses them willy nilly. So yeah, they're not careful enough.
Definitely not.
Agreed. Well, I agree with everything that you just said. My point was also just more about the time shift key and getting a new key. I like being introduced to a new key. I think the keys are one of my favorite parts of the show. It's one of my favorite parts of the comic, other than the characters. So it's always fun getting to see a new key. I do think we're probably going to see it more. Why would they introduce it, you know, and not give us more of it? It was convenient that they didn't have to go into any kind of explanation or talk really about, well, you know, when Duncan's like, well, that's not how the key works. And I'm like, well, how does it work? I want to know. Can we talk more about this? You know, And maybe it's just too much because they were literally getting ready to start the wedding, and it wasn't a good time. So obviously, yeah, not a good time to be playing with the new key. And that was one of my major points of this was, and like you were talking about some of the carelessness with these keys, it was a little frustrating that Bodhi was so careless with it, because the last time they just had a new key, the snow globe key, it almost killed him.
And he was also saying, let's wait until Kinsey gets back, but then they get this new one and let's use it. Let's do it again.
Instead of, you know, taking the key because he hears the whispering, he finds it. And instead of like, you know, and then maybe, you know, saying, oh, this fits the clock. I know he's a kid. I guess I have to let some things go. I understand he's a child, but Bodhi, for the most part in the previous seasons, at least I always thought was a pretty good kid with a good head on his shoulders. He always seemed to kind of get Kinsey and Tyler in line sometimes, you know, and be the more adult voice sometimes in the room. And it was a little disappointing to see him just jump in like, okay, so we know the wedding's getting ready to happen. He was so excited to be Duncan's best man. And he just lets all that go to try out this new key, not knowing what it does. Could it be good? Could it be bad? Doesn't know what's going to happen to him. He could have got stuck in one of those other timelines, and he didn't know how long he was going to be gone. He could have been stuck there. Who knows how it works? Was it because he asked Jamie, how long were you gone? She acts like, well, you disappeared and then you came back, and he was gone like 3 minutes. But who knows how it works on both sides, right? So it just seemed a little careless on Bodhi's part. I'm like, dude, you almost died. You know, the snow globe key. Can we use a little caution, please, and let someone know? Found a key. Does anyone know what it is? Let's talk about it, whatever. And I think also something that we keep seeing since season one is the writers have given us this theme of the keys make themselves known just when the locks need them. You know, it's like they happen to pop up just when they kind of need something. And they kind of did this with the time shift key. So I'm guessing it will come into play for some reason. Maybe part of it was, like you said, Jason, to kind of introduce us to that Harlequin chest. That would be something that they could use to protect the keys and make it impenetrable. Whereas maybe the mending cabinet isn't. So maybe that's what it was for, to introduce them to that. I feel like it's going to come back, though. I'm sure they'll use it for something else, but it's kind of like, they're shown, or the whispers start just when they need it.
Yeah, I mean, and I also feel like since there's characters from Revolutionary War period, that might play into it.
Yes, probably. But, you know, it's like I feel like some people are forgotten, and maybe the characters, that these keys are made from like these little demon bullets, you know, that's like what's doing that whispering. And I just feel like I'd be a little bit more hesitant all the time about whenever they're calling to me. Mm-hmm. And it's like what Nina was saying, you know, the keys just want to be used, good or bad. They just want to, you know, want to be used. And it's like, well, think about what they're made of. You know, they're probably not always, you know, going to be something that's going to work out for you or be good for you. So anyway, just kind of adding on to what you were talking about with some of the carelessness that kind of bothered me. But it was fun to see a new key, and it was fun to see. I did like the effects. I did like how, you know, it started to kind of go light and dark, light and dark, light and dark, like the days and nights were kind of shifting, kind of seeing that. So it was fun to see that effect. I do like the visuals. I wish they'd play more with the visuals. I feel like when you look at the comics, read the comics, it's so visual, and it, you know, it's I wish they could play with that a little bit more in the show, but I think they do a pretty good job. So that was fun. So can't wait to see more of it. I think we will. Yeah. So I'm excited to see it again. So
yeah, I want to watch the next episode as soon as I can. So that's always a good sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, as soon as we wrap here, you have that freedom.
I'm so going
that's it's a good see thing.
It's a good thing. I'm watching it on my computer over here. Right now.
Oh, okay. Can't wait. God. Okay. Well, no spoilers.
No spoilers. Oh, wow.
Okay.
No, Bodhi.
Okay. Paik, what's your next point?
All right. Let's talk about my boy, Tyler.
Yeah.
I started with him last week. Last week. It was only a few days ago.
yeah, I forget we were just talking about this the other day.
But yeah, I'm glad he did decide to show up. It was kind of a sudden thing where he's like, you know, last episode he's even talking to this girl in Montana where he's like, I don't know, it's just too far away and too soon and I don't know if I'm going to get to go. And then it's like, surprise! I just wanted to surprise everybody by not texting you and ghosting you for a month, but I'm here.
and the good thing about that was it surprised us too.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to see him back.
I didn't either. Like that. So it was a nice surprise.
Yeah. It really was.
Audience member. Yeah.
Yeah.
It did make me really happy to see him.
And they tried, like, the door was shaking and they had just mentioned those sisters.
Uh-huh.
But then I thought, no, that's a red herring and it's going to be Josh because they also just mentioned Josh. Mm-hmm. So then when Tyler came through, I was like, oh, wow, that's so cool.
Yeah. And I guess that's just his go-to move when trying to like prank somebody about you showing up is to jiggle the door and wait for him because he does the same thing to Bodhi, which then he gets thrown by this nice judo move that Bodhi pulls out thanks to the Hercules key.
Which I thought right away. He's not going to know how he did that.
Right. Yeah. And they go right with that with Tyler not understanding that. He was like, use the Hercules belt. And that means nothing to him. Which Bodhi is sad about that. You know, after he walks away, him and, you know, Bodhi and Kinsey have that conversation. He's like, I wish he'd just remember. It's like, but that's what he wanted. Which, yeah. Even as a viewer, it's frustrating because we're kind of in the same shoes as Bodhi and Kinsey. We're like, everything would be better if Tyler would just remember, if he was just there with them and knew. But.
And last week we had that call from, was it Jade listener? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she said something like she would never choose to be ignorant. And I agree. I mean, when Tyler was faced, you're probably going to talk about faced with Kinsey offered him the memory key and then he flashed on, Jackie dying in his arms. I don't even want to go there. So I can sort of understand it's traumatic for him, but
that's the thing. It's all about avoiding trauma. Yeah.
Not wanting to, I'd rather know, you know, you'd be safer for knowing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we had those conversations a lot last season because Jackie. Nina didn't know and Jackie making her choice and then Duncan, you know, having some of his memories taken and him forgetting magic also.
And because of that, this feels a bit repetitive, to be honest, with Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
It does. I think we had those conversations about like how much safer it would be. Like, wouldn't you want to know? But also I think I feel like Tyler's just wanting to run, you know, and not face the pain.
Yeah. It's a lot of pain that he's having to deal with, which at least luckily he has such a great supportive family. Like, of course, we have Kinsey. I could see some people viewing what Kinsey did at the wedding reception as a little manipulative, purposely getting him more drunk so she could make him remember. And then taking that moment to be like, don't you want to remember these things? Mm-hmm. Now you tell me we can use the memory key. But, I mean, again, then he has those flashes of Jackie and you can see he's like, no, fuck no, I'm out. Like, that's not what I want. I told you that's not what I want. And she cries, you know, and she's hurt, but she doesn't push it further. And she does even apologize to him later saying, I shouldn't have pushed. I shouldn't have.
And so, like, what are you talking about?
Right. I don't know what you're doing. Yeah. But also I got to give big props again to Nina for her, you know, being the most supportive, amazing, understanding mother in the universe at that moment, you know, where Tyler comes in, is like, I'm sorry that I haven't been here. And, you know, that, and then she just kind of stops him. It's just like, take all the time that you need. We will be here for you when you're ready. And I was like, man, that's awesome. I still have to say, Tyler, call your mama at least, you know, check in on her every once in a while, dude. Come on.
I was so frustrated when we talked last episode. I'm like, come on, at least check in with your mother, you know? That's cruel.
But I'm glad that Nina is very supportive of like, no, you are on your journey. You take the time you need. And we're here for you when you're ready. And I think that's pretty powerful stuff. this just kind of thrown right in there. And I got to give her big props for that. So then at the reception, I talked about that a little bit, is just him. He's been drinking through the reception. So it's opening up his memory and perception of magic a little bit. When he sees the chain key that Kinsey's wearing, he has that little flash remembering of Gabe using it on Bodhi.
Most and people drink to forget, but he has to be sober to forget.
Right. He's drinking to remember. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of wonder, because he's going through, he's like, oh yeah, and then we did this and we did that, and I found the memory key, that's right, I found that in the bench, and then we did, and he's like rattling off all these names and locations and keys, and he's like kind of excited, he's like, oh, I'm remembering these things. But then as soon as that Jackie memory comes back to him, that's when he just shuts it down. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's why I chose to forget.
And that's a rough one too, because he used that, what was the key he made with Duncan? The demon, undemoning, like, key, the, or something?
Yeah, yeah,
was there ever like an official key name? Yeah,
I don't think they gave it a name, but okay. Yeah, it was supposed to be.
The alpha key, wasn't
alpha
it?
Key, yeah, that's right. Yeah. He stuck it, he did it, and she was okay for a second, and then she died.
Yeah, that stuff oozed out of her.
Yeah. Yes, he goes back into the house to like rest his head and his mind, his body, everything. And then when he goes back in there, the soldiers, Bolton and Coffey, are trying to get into the mending cabinet. Luckily, Kenzie followed him back into the house, so she's they're able to fight them and Gideon off with the chain key.
Did Tyler do a little bit of chain key fighting?
He did. He picked it up off the floor when Gideon was going for it and kind of used it on them.
Gideon really clocked Kenzie in the back of the head there.
Yeah.
Whack.
But then even after the soldiers run off, Tyler's already forgetting again. You know, he follows Kenzie into the kitchen. Yeah. She's getting him an ice pack. And he's like, what happened in there? You know, these guys broke in and they were trying to get into the cabinet. And then you came in, and he's trying to remember what Kenzie did. It just that kind of that same effect we got a lot last season with Josh or with Duncan or, Duncan, you know, with people forgetting, or Jackie when she was going through her stuff, where just everything muffles out and gets fuzzy. He's like, you did what? I don't even remember how, you know, what was that?
Right. But he says he's going to stick around.
Yeah, I did like that a lot.
Which is great. And so I guess in his mind, two old English soldiers from the 1700s attacked them. Yeah. And that's all he knows, right?
Right.
He doesn't remember any of the magical parts, but you got to tell the police.
That's weird.
These guys in these English soldier costumes came to our house and broke in.
Cosplay going wrong.
So, yeah.
It's like one Kenzie's, of those reenactors.
Yeah. Kenzie's still taking it pretty hard that he's forgetting and is choosing to continue to forget. I'm interested to see how long they play that out. I have a feeling something's going to happen, especially with him staying a little bit longer now, that eventually stakes are going to get high enough that where Tyler has to make the decision for his family to take the memory key. I'm sure it'll happen. I just don't know how long they'll kind of play it out.
I hope so. I hope, like, you know, I was saying they didn't know this was the last season, but I hope in some way, shape, or form by the end of the season, Tyler has some resolution to his story arc.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it.
Just a couple things around that. You covered most of what I was going to say about it, but he's looking at pictures of him and Jackie earlier in the day, and it seems clear he knows she died, but I guess just doesn't remember the circumstances around it. I wonder if he knows that or feels that he was involved in some way, you know, that he was close to her and held her in his arms or not. He tells his mom he needs more time away, and she's like, of course, with everything you went through, do what you need to do. But what does he think he went through? Does he just not think about it? Are the details hazy, or does he have like a clear picture in his mind, but it's not what actually happens? And maybe it's just about his father being killed, which is bad enough. Or does he just have some bad feeling? I think it would be much harder to process something that you went through like that if you can't remember it, you know? So that's another reason to use the memory key. Like Duncan, feels much more at peace and healthy now that he's got all his memories back and everything.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I don't want to spoil too much on Better Call Saul, but throughout Saul Goodman's history, if you're into that show at all, even if you're not, I think he doesn't ever want to take the blame for anything that he's done. And so because of that, he's not really facing up to what he's done. And this is sort of a form of that, although Tyler didn't do anything bad, but it's still just like burying your head in the sand and not facing it, you know?
Yeah.
But it's hard. It's painful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So I want to talk about good wedding vibes. I was really happy to see Duncan and Brian's wedding, especially given that we've all felt like we haven't seen enough of those characters. And I was glad that the bad guys didn't ruin the wedding.
Yeah.
I thought they would. It was called Wedding Crashers.
Exactly. Yeah, I have the same note in mind. Because I'll go ahead and say that's kind of my last point is just talking about the wedding. So if I have any extra notes after that, I'll get to them once y'all run through yours. But yeah, I had that exact note. I was like, I looked at the title episode. I was like, God, don't let them ruin this moment.
This
is a beautiful moment. Just let them have it.
And I was glad. And it's so weird because usually on shows when something bad happens, I probably said this too many times, but I'm just like, well, that's good writing. You need drama. But here I'm just like, leave them alone and let them have some happiness.
And they did. There's plenty of day to do your evil doing. Let them have
beautiful wedding. I'm sure bad stuff's going to happen to Duncan and or Brian. In the next six episodes. I love the opening shot using the plant key to make their wedding arch. That was delightful.
That would be so handy to have if you're planning a wedding. The easiest.
You could do it all over flowers, the place.
I know. The flowers can always be, such a thing. So this was, and it was just beautiful. And what a great idea. Yeah.
I'd be tempted to just make it so freaking amazing that no one would ever know. How the hell did you do that?
Yeah, I'd be so over the top. I'd be completely obnoxious.
I mean, not poison ivy, like I would make poison ivy, but how the poison ivy character
poison ivy
just
in the,
makes all these
in the comics
crazy
and,
arrangements. You wouldn't want like a big poison ivy arrangement at your wedding.
It would not be a very fun reception or anything.
Everybody's leaving itchy.
Handing out the Calamina's wedding favors.
You could use the plant key for that, though. Just have it wrap around somebody. Damn you. Anyway, Bodhi insisting he's the best man was adorable. Yeah.
Whether
funny.
Duncan likes it or not, he is.
I know. I like that his character because he kind of knew that Duncan wasn't that, but he's like, nope, sorry. And then Duncan's like, all right. He gives an awesome best man speech, the core of which was, we came to this place we didn't know anything about, but we had Duncan here, and that, made all the difference. That was just beautiful. And then, of course, he gave him the old aloha at the end. And then he got a big hug from him, and he goes, that was a good speech. So that was really nice. Amelia Jones, Kinsey showing off her singing skills. We didn't say it last time when we talked about that movie Coda that won the Oscar, but that was in part about her character being a singer. So she's singing.
Yeah, I had that thought. They're like, well, now that Coda won Best Picture and the world has seen how you can sing, you have to do it in the show now. It's the final season. You got to do it.
Josh and Nina being all cute, and he seems kind of, I don't know if I'm reading this right, but like he's feeling guilty about how he behaved, and he feels like, oh, wow, I'm lucky that she's even agreeing to see me, which I think is right. But anyway, they're doing the slow dance, and he says, can I make an observation? And she says, of course. And he goes, you seem really happy, and that was nice. And then he meets Duncan and Brian, and Duncan gives him the thumbs up behind his back, which is cute. All this stuff is just really good vibes. And then they kiss and everything. And then Duncan and Brian go off, I guess, on their honeymoon. Who knows? I don't know, but I hope we see more of them in this season. So, yeah, it's just nice to have an episode of mostly good vibes. Can't have a whole season like that, but I liked it.
Me too. It was good to get a little bit of happiness, and like we were saying, glad that it didn't get crashed for real, and it was kept up in the house, and they got to have their day, because it was beautiful. A lot of things were beautiful. Kinsey singing, Bodhi's speech, Brian and Duncan, in that
moment.
I
was surprised.
It was beautiful.
I thought for sure by the end those soldiers were going to fuck it all up.
They were respectful. They were keeping quiet, hiding in the house and doing all their, searching.
Gideon's like, I may be a demon, but I'm not going to ruin this wedding.
I'm not going to go that far.
What do you think I am?
I might be evil, but I'm not an asshole, So. Yeah, it was nice. It was good to see. A little bit of happiness. My next point to add to what Paik was saying about Tyler, because he's one of mine too. I was really happy to see Tyler come home. I liked that. Like you were saying, we got the surprise along with the family, because I did not expect him to come home. They kind of definitely made it a thing in the first episode about him not being there, replacing or, giving his seat to someone else. And Kinsey had texted him, like, I'm going to sit you next to Uncle Frank, and, not getting any kind of responses and stuff. So I'm glad that, he came home. It was good to see. I was going to be super bummed if everything that is happening there in Matheson happened without him there, you know, and that if he missed Duncan's wedding. So I'm like, man, come on. You know, he's your uncle. That's your dad's brother. And, you know, it sounds like they might have some family. I don't know who this Uncle Frank in Arizona is. It sounds like he's on their dad's side, but we don't really know a lot of any other locks out there. So it's like, you know, you guys, at least as far as we know, don't really have that much family. So you're not going to miss your Uncle Duncan's wedding.
You that car, for God's sakes. Come on. You better show up.
Exactly. You better show up, for crying out loud. Yeah. So it was good. I was really going to be very disappointed in Tyler had he not showed up for that. Would have been disappointed with his character. But I also think that they would not set us up like they did in the first episode for his whole life in Montana that he has. You know, this job, you know, he's like, he was telling Kinsey, I've got this job and, you know, the stuff going on and I'm going back to it. Oh, and he's got this girl who's hot and heavy and pursuing him there, which I still think there's something off about her. Don't fully trust her or anything yet. So I think he may go back at some point, or at least something, or like maybe she will come and insert herself there or something. I just feel like they're not going to set us up with this life in Montana and show us that and go so far as that and actually have him leaving Matheson to go to Montana and talking about going back if that wasn't going to come back. So sounds like he's going to be there, but I also think there's going to be either he's going to go back or something about Montana is going to come back and insert itself there at Matheson. So I don't know. And it was really sad for me to see Tyler, like we were seeing Nina, like we'd see Duncan forgetting the whole magical side of things, to see him like, you know, with the Hercules belt. Oh, what's that, buddy? Trying out a new look, you know, and get all confused anytime something magical was going on, going out to the well house and the doors being open and the window bars being bent. And he's just, you know, it's not a part of his life right now. So it's kind of sad. And I'm hoping that they don't spend a lot of time on that, either where he's constantly forgetting and we're having to see it, or he makes the decision to go ahead and remember. Because I feel like we did that a lot in season two. You know, we spent a lot of time on that between Nina and Duncan both. So I hope that they don't spend too much time on it, because I feel like we've seen it and we understand it. But I hope he does make the decision. Because I do feel like he's kind of running away and he's not dealing and processing the trauma. I mean, I think there's, you know, if you have to take time and kind of process and mourn, that's one thing. But I don't know that he's really mourning. It seems like he's just running away from it. And that's definitely not going to help, you know. And maybe he's able to walk away because maybe he doesn't remember. And that's, I think, Jason, you raised a really good question, because we don't really know what he remembers or what he understands about Jackie's death. I don't remember if we got, I feel like there was, because the house crashed into the sea and, you know, it was kind of just blamed on this, like, kind of like not quite a natural disaster, like an earthquake or something, but just like a tragic accident or something that happened with this house falling in. I don't remember if we got any kind of explanation as far as like Jackie's death, like how do they explain that? Exactly. So I don't know if that's what he believes, like whatever story that was made up or come to a conclusion that the public was told about Jackie, and that's how he understands Jack. Because I don't remember that it was really explained.
I wonder if he would, like, if he knew about the time shift key, would he want to go try to save her or something?
I don't, you know, and I don't know if that's how it works. We don't know yet, but it doesn't sound like you can affect the outcome or change anything. It's just like kind of visiting a moment in time,
yeah,
or just like a few moments in time that you can't really change it. And if they don't remember you, or you can't affect it in any way, I don't know. But so I don't know. I feel like he's going to have to make that decision because he needs to help the family with what's going on, and he needs to kind of face what happened and process it, or he's never going to work through it. So anyway, but I was glad to see him back. You know, Tyler, he's one of my favorite characters. I know you guys said the same, so it was good to see him back home there with the family. Yep. And not out in Montana. Peek, what's your next point?
Yeah, so kind of my last point there was, yeah, the wedding and just all of the great stuff that was going on there.
So nice.
Jason covered a lot of different things, but see what I have that's on here. Again, it makes sense that they have the wedding on the grounds of Key House. because you can do all the magical things to make it special.
Mm-hmm. And it's a big place, and it's
yeah.
nice.
Yeah. They had, I feel like we haven't got to see all the grounds thoroughly, even from the aerial views. It looked like they had like an orchard or something over there. It looked like a mm-hmm. whole orchard next to the big tent and stuff that they had set up. So I thought that was interesting. I'd love to just really get like a whole tour of the grounds there at Key House. It was yeah. a beautiful setting.
For sure. The Savinis are on wedding video duty, which I guess is not a bad choice. I was like, have they ever shot a wedding before? Well, they made the best horror movie I've ever seen. He's like, is this going to be a horror movie? What are you? Yeah, this better not be terrifying. But yeah, I mean, hey, filmmakers are filmmakers. They
know how to handle the equipment.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a little joke kind of thing. I noticed Bodhi's starting to write his speech, and on the paper it says, today is a very special day. And then he reads, he goes, today is a special day. I was like, you wrote six words and you already screwed it up, kid. Good job. No. yeah. Amelia Jones singing was great. Did make a little note when the caterers, because I think this has to be clearly important in some way, or I don't think they would have made this whole nod. And the caterers and the staff and stuff are all setting up the wedding stuff, and they're at the bar setting up all the bottles at the bar, and they set down, it's quickly but prominently focused on the bottle of gin that is set down. Did either of you notice that?
Wheeler Sisters Gin?
The label Wheeler Sisters Gin, established 2005. So I was like, well, the Wheeler Sisters are the two demon sisters we saw in the first episode. And I was like, okay, so what's the 2005? Is that a reference to anything with them, or is it like a different like family? Does 2005 not really actually mean anything, but is it just stating that there's like mm-hmm. a family lineage of Wheelers that has continued and is in the area? I feel like it's going to be important in some way.
Like, they like alcohol distillers or something.
They made a point to focus on that. Yes. And, you know, that was in season one, Ellie brought Nina a bottle of gin from that local distillery. So
the Wheeler yeah. sisters,
the Wheeler sisters gin. Yeah, Nina brought that to.
Oh, so they already had the Wheeler sisters in season one.
It was Wheeler sisters.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't pick up on that, but yeah, because I do remember Ellie saying it was like a local distillery or something.
I wonder mm-hmm. if yeah they already had the storyline in mind back then.
Mm-hmm. Classic TV wedding situation of forgetting the rings. Bodhi having to go up and get them so that we can realize that Gideon and his men have somehow infiltrated the house mm-hmm. in all of the chaos of the wedding.
They have the anywhere key, so.
Yeah, there you go. That's easy enough. Then, yeah, just the note, I was just like, this is a wedding that I would love to attend. It was super beautiful. And again, that I was worried because of the title and Gideon's crawling around. I was like, mm-hmm. don't fuck it up. So I'm glad it wasn't. They deserve all the happiness. And then the reception was full of painful amounts of white dancing. I mean, like Miracle Whip level dancing.
Yes.
It was cute.
I think they even started to infect Jamie. I'm like, get out of there, girl. Protect your rhythm. it was pretty bad. I was embarrassed for all of them, but you know what?
Looked like a pretty
good time.
Typical wedding or mini that I've been to anyway. Yeah. It's always a good mix.
Yeah. Was it pretty on the nose that the slow song that Nina and Josh are dancing to is titled Future Lover? Maybe. Do I appreciate that note? Yeah, absolutely. then their little bowling conversation was adorable in the dorkiest way. And then, yeah, Duncan and Brian were hilarious. Mm-hmm. Having to waltz over and meet the famous Josh was really cute. Yeah, and then Bodhi's speech, Jason talked a little bit, you know, when he says, when we arrived last year, and I was like, God, it feels like they've been there longer than a year, but I guess mm-hmm. that does track. Season one would have been that first school year. Season two was over summer.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's bizarre to think and that it
Tyler's
was.
Tyler's been gone a couple months or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, guess it tracks. It was pretty sweet for a speech. Ends it with the aloha middle finger, which is a hilarious inside joke for him and Duncan, but I was like, the rest of the guests, they're yeah. all laughing like they understand it, but I was like,
I know.
I think they would be confused and maybe concerned a little bit. Like, Jamie was the only face that looked shocked at all when they was like,
maybe that joke's gotten around, hopefully.
Maybe.
Hope so.
Everybody's
yeah.
like, oh, that's so funny. It's like, I don't think any of you know what that means.
You know what? I don't like that trend of celebrities flipping off the camera. I need to chill out about it, but it triggers in me like, fuck you. You know, when I see that, like Norman Reedus does it all the time. And I'm like, fuck you, man. But I know it's now it does. It just is cool. But to me, it's kind of rude.
But yeah. Note so I think self. That's all the notes I had on there is just to talk about. Yeah. Like little nods. I said the gin I was curious about, which, yeah, that could be the same from season one if they're setting that up. But the name was there. And then again, I like the music choices. I feel are very deliberate. They kind of always have been, said the title of that song. And I even mentioned last week something about, you know, Tyler looking at his phone and the lyrics of that song being forgetting who we are or whatever. It's kind of, I love that. You know, we've talked on certain shows. I have a whole music segment. I love deliberate music choices in a TV show. And this show's always done that really well.
And it the music sounds good too. It really lends itself to the vibe, even independently the lyrics to me usually. I like it. Aside from the sometimes overly Harry Potter-ish score. But I pretty much don't even notice that anymore. I think they improved it too.
I'm glad they still have the fun little intro. Credits and yeah,
I
like that. And they always kind of showcase a key once they get past that.
Oh yeah, did we pay attention to what it was this time? I didn't.
I should have. I would. As you mentioned that, I was like, I usually paid attention to that in season two. Damn it, I didn't do that.
I think it was the time shift key.
It would have made sense.
It makes sense.
Yeah, I think
it's not going to be the Harlequin key in an episode with time travel.
No, I'm pretty sure it was the time shift key, if I remember correctly. I watched it the first time because I always do, but then usually my second watch I just try to skip over it because I usually just need to watch the episode. So I just remember from my first watch, but pretty sure. I feel
I'll
okay
pay attention
saying
for episode three now. I'll see what whatever that one is.
Yeah, I always like when they do that. It's fun. Okay, yeah. Jason.
Okay, this is my last point. It's Gideon and his henchmen. Kind of a bunch of random things about him and them. I thought I'd mention just his history in case people forgot. It was 1775. He's Captain Frederick Gideon. He raids Key House, which they're using, the Continental Army is using to build and hide weapons for the American Revolutionary War. Gideon stabs and kills Peter Locke, who's the ancestor of Bodie, Kinsey, and Tyler. The local militia chases Gideon to the caves, the seaside caves, and when him and his men, and they're down there, and when they touch the rock, the portal opens, and I guess the bullets came out right, and one hit Gideon and another soldier, so they're demons. But I think the other one fell in, right?
Yeah, the first soldier that got hit got sucked back into the black
So he's door. The only one.
Did he fall, or did he get pushed? No, did he...
He's in.
He was shot and then flew back in.
Yeah.
I should have done a rewatch.
Gideon's captured and hanged. And then that was in the third to last episode. And then in the last episode, Eden had the Echo Key and summoned Gideon back. And then, of course, he was still paired with his demon, just like Lucas was. And then he threw her down the well. And I mentioned last season, up till now, we've had evil demons paired with pretty much innocent, good people. I mean, Eden is sort of pretty good, but anyway, this season we have this notable demon, because Eden recognized him. He's like it's you, paired with this violent, murderous guy. Because as Josh said last season, Frederick Gideon terrorized every citizen in every town in the North Shore. He murdered innocent people he suspected of being rebels, created chaos and fear, et cetera, et cetera. So that's his history. We learned this episode he did specifically want the Echo Key because he brought back a couple of his compatriots. But they're echoes. They're not demons. That's why he wanted them, because they can take the keys from the locks without burning.
That's where I was confused. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Thank you for
like they could bring their father back. Yeah, so the reason Lucas was bad is because he already was possessed when he died, and then when they brought him back, he still had the demon attached to him. So he was an echo with a demon. But these guys are just echoes.
So Gideon, still an echo, but possessed by a demon when he died.
Yeah,
and that's why he can't take the keys from the locks. He would burn, but the echoes
can.
They're just normal people. Echoes.
Yeah,
but they still can't just take them, right? They still can't take them from a lock. They have to be given.
No, they can take them.
Only if you're a demon, that rule.
Only if you're a demon can you not. But if you're an echo, which is just a person brought back to life,
okay, I guess
then that rule doesn't apply to you.
Okay, that's the detail I forgot.
Yeah, I had to think about it. So since they're not demons, but they still follow Gideon. Well, that's because he was their captain, and he tells his men that he merged with something of unspeakable power, and that he's himself, but something more. So either, I think, it seems like based on that he's still Gideon with this extra thing, so that he's still kind of in control. So maybe he was such a powerful or bad guy already that he has more awareness and control than others who are possessed. Or maybe when he's saying that, it's just the demon talking and he's saying what he thinks it will take for Gideon's men to follow him. Because like if he just said, I'm a demon, then they might not. But if he says, I'm Gideon, but more powerful, I'm still your captain, you know?
Yeah, I feel like it's the latter. I feel like he's just lying to them, being bullshitting like, well, them. I'm still Frederick Gideon, but I'm also a powerful being.
I think he has
doing what he can.
I mean, I think he would have like at least know what Frederick Gideon knows and have his memories and kind of knows what he would say. Because Eden, when she was possessed last season, she was able to like interact with her mom and still,
and she knew all her history and everything.
Yeah,
but I think Jackie, when she lost the demon, didn't she say, I was trapped in there and I couldn't talk or something like that? I think I remember something like that. So they're aware, but they can't do anything about it, maybe. I don't know for sure. A few more things about Gideon. He did this trippy thing. So they're in the well house, which echoes can't leave, or they'll, I think, disintegrate if they go through the door. Mm-hmm. So he opened a door that they couldn't walk through without disintegrating, and then it was with the anywhere key. He pictured a door on the other side of the well house, and which they presumably also can't walk through. But because it's the anywhere key, they can go through door B and come out door A. Or maybe that other door was like a closet or something.
Yeah, it's
closet, a
closet
because Tyler opened it up and it just opens the closet like a closet. Yeah.
But it was interesting that they could actually come out the well house.
Use the same door as the anywhere door. Yeah,
I mean, that's the only way echoes can leave, right, is if they use the anywhere key.
The only way echoes can leave the well house is by using the anywhere key, but this is the first time that we've seen the anywhere key used to let them leave through the well house door.
Yes. But
instead of walking through the door, they walk through the closet and out the door, so that was kind of
tricky. It was a super cool effect to see.
Yeah, it was. Over here, not over there, over here. I'm talking to you, this guy. Don't pay any attention to that guy. Gideon said the locks who made the magic keys were arrogant, believing themselves worthy of such gifts. I thought that was an interesting statement. It shows the point of view of either Gideon or this demon or both. I don't know who's saying it, but I feel like that sentiment is going to come forward some more in the rest of the season, maybe.
It's not like a empathetic thing towards the demons, because they're kind of clearly the villain and this evil figure, but it does explain, like, if he truly believes that way, you're like, no, that would make sense if the demons are like, we're our own entity, and then the locks broke into our dimension and started taking us and using us for their own good, and you know, like, I could see that. Yeah,
and I like it because I feel like these villains have no, they're so one note without much depth. So that gives it just that little bit much bit of depth, you know, and complexity. He makes one of his men stab the other one instead of just doing it himself, and shows his demon face to motivate them. That was, I mean, I was thinking if I was in the English army in the Revolutionary War, thinking I'm bringing, you know, fighting to keep my country together and stop these rebels, and then the next thing I know, I'm in the future and I've died and my captain is a demon, I'd be like, I need to really think about this situation. Like, am I still following you? Like, what's up with England right now? Oh, they're totally fine with America. Oh, well, okay. Where does that leave us? Gideon said he wanted his men to be possessed too. He said, if I get my way, you'll see for yourself. I think he was talking about explaining what his situation is and wants them to have the same situation, I think. And then, the last thing is just that, you know, they tried to get the keys and the locks beat them. So they had to run away using the anywhere key. And in the Kinsey's worried that they'll come back. Of course they will. And I'm like, it feels like the same story, kind of like there's demony bad guys trying to get the keys. And I'm thinking, if I'm a lock and I keep having these demony types coming and trying to take the keys from me, I wonder if I would like make a special box that destroys all keys and then throw them all in there, you know, or something like that, just to end it. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing keeps happening over and over again. I don't want to have to like, cause they're kind of on their own. They can't really rely on law enforcement for this. I was wondering if they could like try to go find someone else who knows about magic or something, but to just be stuck there like, as kids who have to continually fight these demons. I'd want to try to find a way out of it, you know?
Yeah. Let me just think like that Harlequin chest is like, okay, if you lock it and it's indestructible, but can it be moved? Like, we couldn't see, like, is it so, like, you can't move it from a location? Or is it, like, put all the keys inside it and then just, like, chunk it in a volcano? Like, hit the bottom of the ocean or something? Like, what do you do? Like, you can get rid of things that way or something. I don't know.
Or even if, like, if it really is impenetrable and indestructible, then maybe it doesn't matter where it is. Because they just can't get inside. But you'd always fear that they would find a way to get inside.
He's like, yeah, they lock all the keys in it, and then Gideon just runs in and picks it up and runs off with it. Like, no, nobody has the keys.
And then he goes, I'm going to make a key that opens this.
I mean, I guess they could destroy the keys, but you know what happened last season was that they made them
make another key. Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, even if they destroyed them, they could still make one of the locks. And I know not every lock, I guess, can make one, but, you know, I feel they don't know that.
Yeah, no, but
you're
right, yeah.
Blackmail them and kidnap them.
Force Bodhi to do it.
Yeah, force someone to do it.
Duncan. It's an interesting situation. You get to use all these amazing keys, but you have to defend yourself against demons. Is it worth it? I don't know. Probably not.
Why can't they have this Harlequin box and whatever magic and key that they use to make this impenetrable and can't open it without the key. Why don't they just do that around the house? Make that this shield around the house.
They really do need to be thinking about how to use these, create more interesting keys that can really protect them.
Right.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Like make a key where if I plug it into myself and turn it on, all I have to do is point at a demon and they die.
Right.
Or something like that.
You know? Just a little socket in the wall. You turn it and all demons that exist are dead. That's what the key does.
Some lasers out of your fingers or I don't know, because I'm just thinking like
the special laser finger key. I like it. Laser tag.
Pew, pew, pew. But yeah, like a force shield around the house or something that, you know, no demon can cross the threshold, you know, so that they couldn't enter.
Like it's the well, you know, like the well house with the echoes, only the house with demons. That'd be good.
Yeah,
that would be totally good if they could figure out how to make it so any demon that comes in just instantly evaporates.
Poof, in ash or something. Or dies or whatever. I don't know, just thinking something. I think after all that they've been through, that's what I would trying to figure out. What can we do like that? What can, you know, help protect the family, help protect the keys from falling into the wrong hands? You know, I don't know. At this point, I would have had enough. I mean, like, I'm done with this shit. Yeah, can we figure out how to, you know?
Can we get this taken care of? But, I mean, we're speaking too logically, probably. And
I know
it's not. It's a fun, magical fantasy, you know. So
I know. Then we wouldn't have a show because then there'd be no drama and no demons. I get it, but I'm just, you know, I'm just like, oh, come on. It's just a little frustrating.
Yeah.
Well, Gideon was my last point as well. I will just add that I like that he's getting a little more villainy in this episode, and he's not just like evil grunting his way around.
You know? He did scowl at the cheese thing, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah. Beef first.
How dare you mock me?
I like that. That was the perfect gift for Bodhi, by the way. Cheesy.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, but I like that he's, you know, I'm not saying he's a perfect villain or anything like that, but I do love the actor. You know, I think he's such a great character actor. I've seen him in a lot of things and I really enjoy what he does. I wish he got a little bit more meat and potatoes, and maybe he will. It's only the second episode, but I think he's a great character actor. So I hope he gets a little bit more to chew on than just the grunting, you know, around. So I like that he got a little bit more. He got a little bit more dialogue, and you know, they're hopefully making him more into a villain. I was a little irritated that he's still running around in this war uniform. Like, is he going to wear that all season?
I know.
The dude
it's
stands
a bit
out.
Conspicuous. Yeah.
Yeah, like he's you know, from afar, spying on when Brian and Duncan showed up the day before the wedding, and he's out there in the woods spying on them. And I'm like, dude, you stand out like a sore thumb. You're in this bright red coat, you know, uniform, still wearing his hat. I mean, I'm sure he was off at a little bit of a distance, but when you look at him in the, I'm like, he clearly, he's in this contrasting color. I'm like, you and I don't know.
I must find the clothing of today and fit in.
I mean,
and then you see him the next episode. He's got like the drop crotch joggers, some Crocs, and a Hawaiian shirt, the shutter shades, and his hair in a man bun. I look like I belong now.
He fits right in. I mean, we saw Dodge, you know, using the Anywhere key and you know, going into these stores and getting these clothes, and then walking out of the dressing rooms, going into somewhere else and stuff, you know, and she was always thinking ahead. You know, whoever she was in the moment was always thinking ahead. I'm like, you know, you come on, you're a soldier. You're not a complete idiot. You have to kind of blend a little bit with the times. You can look at yourself and look at the clothes the people are wearing that you're spying on and know that you stand out. You might want to try to fit in just a little bit. I don't know. It's just like, it takes me out of it a little bit. I get like, okay, yes, he was a
revolutionary
soldier, but yeah, it's a little goofy. So
Dodge, you know, had all of Lucas's knowledge, so that's why, maybe that's one reason why it'd be a bit easier to know where to go and what to get, but maybe just a little easier. You could
break into someone's house, you know, using the Anywhere key and go in and steal some
or
clothes.
Or kill a
from
big, tall guy and take his clothes.
Yeah, like it'd have to
Arnold
be a big,
Schwarzenegger.
Big and tall person, because he's a tall fella. But yeah, I don't know. Go to someone's clothesline in their backyard and steal some clothes, for crying out loud. Be a little resourceful. I don't know. But it's a little annoying to see all these soldiers just standing out there in the woods in their uniforms. But whatever. And you already talked
bit
about
fishy, isn't it?
What you looking at?
That's funny. And you already talked about his compatriots there joining him and answered my question, because I was trying to figure it out. I'm like, I know I have to just, I guess, go back and talk it out and think about it, but I was totally forgetting all of that. So I appreciate you filling that in for me. But that's all that I had that we haven't already talked about. So does anyone have any other points, or do you just have notes? Paik, what about you? Do you
have
any other
notes.
Just notes? Paik, do you have any other points?
Not other like points, just kind of notes.
Okay. Well, go ahead, because I think I don't have any other points either, and I'm that's all I'm down to. So
I'm still
ahead.
Like stuck to that like top three kind of idea.
It
so
is still
what I do.
It
I
is.
Just, like, set
yes.
My three notes, my 3 points. I'm like,
it's still the same thing. Yes.
Yeah.
We're on the right track.
Then I've got other notes, but yeah, Gideon was kind of, I had some notes about him, which kind of covered, I guess we're not going to get any follow-up to the demonic portal in the ground that opened at the end of the last episode.
Yeah, I still don't know what that was about. Yeah.
You know, just like, we won't address that at all. I loved that Jason called it the demon face that he used, because I literally in my note have demon face with the TM trademark emoji next to it. And when I wrote it out in my notes, he's like, and he breaks out demon face. Yeah, then he finds the plant key. Bolton finds the plant key, and then Gideon finds the cheese hat and is quite perplexed by it. but then he finds Bodhi's drawing journal of all the keys and their uses, as I kind of figured he would. And so now they know exactly what they're looking for. And because Bodhi wrote that the mending cabinet is the perfect hiding / storage place for the keys, they know where to look too. So awesome.
Yeah, that was
you really need to write that down.
Yeah, that's not great, especially when you know you got demons lurking around.
Here's the combination to my lock at school, in case anyone's curious.
Here's all my passwords to all the websites and my bank codes. And
haven't really mentioned Ellie too much. I mean, she was only at the wedding and the reception, but I liked her scenes. She's chatting with Gordy Shaw. We get another little nod to the magical performance of the Tempest that the Keepers of the Keys did, like when Ellie and Rendell and Aaron, et cetera, were all back in high school. Then there's a funny little line in there, kind of darkly funny, maybe, that may not have been intentional, but I found humor in it. Apologizes to Gordy. You know, I'm sorry that if you ever felt excluded, we just kind of had our own thing. And he goes, no need to explain. We're all adults now. And I was like, well, actually, Lucas is back as a teenager and everyone else is dead. So, maybe not.
Yeah. I feel like that's going to come back a little bit, right? Get a little bit more history there. Because I don't remember him being mentioned before, right? It mostly...
He was in season two.
Was he?
He's the theater teacher at the high school. So Nina was renovating the theater for him.
Yeah, and she offered him a job coaching the track team.
Yeah. Gordy invites her back to coaching.
That's another seed.
Which... planted. Could be really good for her. I think she's kind of that's her arc right now, is trying to find a way to fit back in after everything that's happened. Maybe that would be good to just kind of go back to her old job and really try to get her spot back in the community. And
I felt kind of that was an awkward moment a little bit, not too bad, but she was looking so beautiful dressed up for the wedding, and she seemed really like open and wanting to connect, and he comes in with basically, you know, oh, you guys excluded me in high school. and that killed any chance of connection. And I've been there where I've said something that did that. So it made me feel like, oh man, that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. And then really, let's see. Oh yeah. The other thing, mission with Bodhi having kind of another little quick emotional thing that I picked up on, of course, is Duncan and Brian are sent off after the wedding. And then Nina and Josh share that kiss to where, it was pretty beautiful, except Bodhi notices the kiss and he looks really bothered.
Yeah, I noticed that. I wonder what that was about.
Because I know last Bodhi's season a lot of... Yeah, because last season a lot of it was Kinsey being like, are you ready for that? You know, kind of Kinsey's insecurity about her mom moving on and finding somebody. And then now Kinsey's kind of given her blessing, and then you see them kissing, and now Bodhi's kind of... And is it just off the heels for the fact that he almost saw his dad again, and his dad's really fresh on his mind?
Oh, yeah,
maybe. I bet, you know,
but something like that, but but it was just kind of interesting. It was like, I don't know if we ever really picked up on how Bodhi felt about Josh and Nina together last season, so to see clearly, now that it's right there in his face, he might not be so happy with it.
Maybe Bodhi will send Josh back in time.
Get rid of that meddling kid.
You like history? Set this to 50 years. Go for it.
And then, it was just kind of the ending of the episode. Now that they know that Gideon and company are trying to get the keys out of the mending cabinet, they need to store them elsewhere. Bodhi remembers the Harlequin chest from when he traveled back. And he knows where it's at in the basement. He remembers seeing it down there. But we're left with the fact that they don't have the key. So I'm sure that may be our key at the intro of season three, or episode three. And kind of what we're looking at is maybe they'll find this Harlequin key and figure that out in the next episode.
Yeah. They got to find it. Oh yeah. I feel like that box is going to play into the story somehow, not just be where they keep the keys, but mm-hmm. have some other part in the story. There are a lot of seeds planted in this episode.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Is that all your notes?
All the notes.
Awesome. Okay. Jason, what notes do you good? Have?
Those are good notes.
Yeah. Were they good, Raymond? Did they pass the test?
She's not saying anything.
I said that. I said not so good.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding. My turn. Okay. So the marriage of Duncan and Brian starts with a little secret, like, that he said something about the wedding arch, someone did, and Brian was like, it's so beautiful, and Duncan kind of winked, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of too bad that, like, they're starting this marriage, but Brian doesn't know anything about any of this stuff. I guess it doesn't maybe matter all that much, but it does make me kind of worried for Brian, that maybe he won't be okay this season, so we'll see. I'm glad Nina acknowledged that Bodhi could have frozen to death last week. She didn't seem to take any responsibility for that, but at least she acknowledged it. And the last note I had that we haven't already talked about is that Tyler made it clear that he has a job. He said framing houses, which I guess means just making the framework. So it's not like a charity thing, like I was wondering. Habitats for Humanity or something. It's just his job. But apparently he can just not go back for 3 extra days and it'll be fine. Has an understanding boss.
Maybe that girl that he was talking to is his boss.
Could be. She told him to go home. It's quitting time. Yabba dabba doo.
That'd be a little of a sticky situation if she's, like, mm-hmm. interested in him, but was his boss. So I hope that's not the situation.
I didn't get that sense.
Yeah. I don't know. We don't know a lot about her, so.
Yeah. That whole setup just seemed like they didn't put a lot of effort into it. You know, they have a budget and they just didn't put a lot of the budget towards it because there was only 2 of them there. That was weird. And so I don't know. I bet you we'll never go back to the construction set.
Probably not. Yeah. We may see Montana again. I don't know. But mm-hmm. yeah, probably not.
I mean, you'd think we'd at least see that character.
Yeah.
Again. It'd be weird if we don't.
I think it would. Why go to the trouble to have them, you know, go to that bar and mm-hmm. she was showing interest and then never see her or whatever, whether it's in Matheson or in Montana.
I suppose it could just be because they sent Tyler off at the end of last season. So they wanted to show where he was and what his state of mind was. So they needed someone for him to talk to so that we could learn from that conversation, you know, where his head's at. It could just be that, but I still think it would be weird mm-hmm. not to see her again. And then just to kind of make it more interesting, have her sort of be, you know, trying to have a deeper relationship with him by him being his usual.
Or she's a demon keeping tabs on
him. Yeah, she's a demon. That's
probably it. I think we've covered all of my notes. One of them was Wheeler Sisters, Jen, which we've talked about, and I think we've covered everything else that I had, so I don't want to repeat any of that. But I think that was great. I'm ready for the next one. I hope I get a chance to watch it later. I gotta do my Better Call Saul stuff, so I don't know if I'll get a chance to watch
we'll,
it right
we'll
away.
Plug all that stuff later, I'm sure. But yeah, I'm itching to hear what you guys think about that. That's another time.
Yeah, short amount of time. We've got that tomorrow. I think, so.
Yeah, I would guess, just knowing you, that had an impact on you, and it did on me too. And I even suspect that this episode of covering Lock and Key, there's a little bit of the vibe of how we're feeling from watching that episode, because it kind of blew me away.
It's been a lot to process.
Yeah.
I'll say that. So... So yeah, I need to shift gears a little bit and get on that, because we have that tomorrow, and I'm not gonna have a lot of time to do that. So
actually, it's Thursday. We pushed it back to Thursday this week.
Hey, so that's good to know. Good, then a little bit more time to mourn. Yeah. And process.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
No, it's just, it's no, I'm mourning the end of the show, the whole universe. That really affected me, and I'll stop talking about it because we're talking about Lock and Key, but I'm glad for the extra time. Thanks for reminding me. I think that's a good place to stop. That was really good. I am looking forward to the next one. Despite some of my, nitpicking I've done about this episode and a little bit on the previous episode, I do enjoy the show. I think it just bugs me knowing, I think like you were saying, Jason, just how it was ending up and maybe won't be as much as what we want just because it was, unexpected. But anyway, as I mentioned, I don't have any news this week about Lock and Key, so let's just go ahead and move on to listener feedback. Paik, do you want to take that for me, please?
All right. This one is from Lindsay Schlicht. She says, not a bad episode, but I'm starting to feel like, hey guys, this is the final season. Maybe we shouldn't be wasting time on things like weddings for secondary characters. No. Brian and Duncan deserve everything good, and I want 3 more episodes of just them now.
I was definitely okay. At least just this one episode where we got some happiness. Yep.
Yeah. And she goes on, she said, I just felt like we didn't get a lot of movement again. Big shock. Bad guys are trying to steal the keys. Not sure we need an entire episode to establish that. Also, taking the time to now have Tyler be the one out of the loop instead of Nina. Been there, done that.
Yep.
I hope it amounts to something more interesting than Tyler struggling a few episodes then remembering.
I know. I hope they do something, a bit of a twist than what we've seen before, but how can, I don't know how they can.
Yeah, we'll see. Right. Lindsay's been looking at our notes.
Right. I was like, just rehashing everything we said.
Look at your own paper.
Yeah. She continues with, it wasn't all bad, though. The wedding was beautiful, and getting to hear the actress who plays Kinsey sing was an added bonus. The time travel key is a fun new addition. It might be the key I chose now over the head key. It was a nice, mellow episode, and it just felt a little out of place in a final season where we should be having lots of action, lots of storyline movement, and much higher stakes. Just another bad guy trying to steal the keys feels very underwhelming. Hope it picks up soon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one. Head key or time travel key? I think I'd still...
I still think anywhere key is the best way to go.
Of course, but of those
two... out of those two,
head key...
I'd have to think about it.
I don't know.
I think time shift for me, even if it's just to like go back and see certain things.
Yeah,
really, I guess
like, people...
I'm gonna hold that until I understand a little bit more about how it works, maybe.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
I feel like it's...
But the head key, you can throw books in there and know everything. Yeah, we got it. Yeah, that's a good point. We should see how it works, and then we can know more whether we'd want it.
I would rather make an informed decision, and I feel like what little I know... I mean, it would be good. I think there's some good things, but I don't know.
I mean, right away, I would grab my two sons and go back to... 1995 and hang out with my grandpa for a while and be like, look, these are your grandkids who we never got to see.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty fucking awesome.
I would do that as well. My grandfather died whenever I was 9 and my daughter never got to know him. And I think he would just be tickled pink to know her. So yeah, I would definitely do that too. Awesome. Thanks, Lindsay. Appreciate you writing in and sticking with us. We did get a voice message this week from our good friend, Steve. He wasn't able to leave any feedback for the first episode, so he combined these two. So this is feedback for episode 1 and 2. And so let's see what Steve has to say.
I'm almost done with episode 1. Did she just say yabba dabba do time? Love it. Hey, strange indeed. This is Steve, and I'm going to give you my thoughts on episode 1, and then I'll live Steve episode 2 here in a minute. Okay, just finished episode 1 and the podcast, and now I'm on to episode 2. What's it called? Wedding Crashers? Which Ashmore twin is this? I always get it mixed up. Sean, Aaron, I don't remember. I love it. He wanted Yacht Rock, and the other guy shot it down. Aw. Seriously, dude, you need to change your clothes. You're a demon, but man, and have you showered? Sorry, that's about Gideon just appeared. So you can use the anywhere key to open up another door. I don't understand what just how this just happened here. So we do get Tyler back in the story. Great. So we don't know exactly what Gideon is, right? He's not an echo. He's not a demon. He's a mixture. This is so cute. This running thing of Bodhi as the best man. You got to know Roman numerals to activate that clock there. Nice. I vaguely remember this from part, one of the comics that, or the one of the compendiums that I read. Aw, he didn't get to see his dad.
You need to go back.
Aw. Literally in one episode, Nina has become the Keymaster. But that smile on her face as she's looking at that hourglass, I don't know if she's going to figure out how to use it or not. I don't know what it is about almost every TV wedding I cry at. I never cried at a wedding in real life. Yeah, I'd ditch you for bacon wrapped meatballs too. I love it, the callback to the aloha with the middle finger. Yes, great toast, Bodhi. Oh, Kinsey, don't get him drunk and use the memory key on him. That's not what he wants. Okay, she's asking him for permission, so we'll see where it gets. Okay, Kinsey had some skills with that chain key, and Tyler wasn't bad. Oh, excellent. The time-traveling Bodhi is going to remember where the chest is. All right, they're going to look for the key, and Tyler's staying. Talk to you later.
Oh, that was great. I cried at the wedding, too. Nice.
Yeah, it's really,
it's good
really
one.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was nice.
It says, I would have loved to be there. That's what I'm going to use, the anywhere key, the time travel key. I'm going to that wedding.
Yeah, I would be.
Those bacon wrap meatballs sound great, so I'll stay for the reception too.
I would be a wedding crasher for sure. You know, the movie had some good things about it. Like, why not go to some of these big weddings? They just never know. You know, you can just blend right in. Yes, I'm cousin so-and-so from, you know, wherever. And just have a good time and cry at the wedding and have a drink, have some dinner. No harm, right?
Maybe give a speech.
And I did consult our friend IMDb, and it is Aaron Ashmore.
Oh, it's Aaron.
Okay. Okay. I could not keep up. So
I can't tell them apart. So yeah, it's fine.
Steve had a couple questions there, but I think we answered them during the podcast, hopefully. But let me know if I'm wrong about that.
Yeah, I heard those, and I thought as he was questioning, I was like, I think we answered that. If we didn't, yep. Steve, let us know. I don't claim to have all the answers, but Paik and Jason do. So
between the three of us, we have at least a third.
Sure.
The answers.
We'll get there.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for your feedback. So happy to have you guys with us, and please keep sending us more. We love to hear from you. So we talked a little bit earlier, a little bit about comic talks, little section that we, you know, like to sometimes, we don't always have stuff every episode. But you know, if we have that knowledge, we're probably going to talk a little bit about it here. So this is a good time that if you don't want to know about what happens in the comic, then you might want to skip ahead a little bit. So that being said, I think you guys talked a little bit about, some things in this episode, or maybe the time shift key and some comic stuff. So what do you got?
Really, all I want to talk about was just how it's interesting. Like I mentioned before, they changed kind of some of the rules of the time shift key and how it worked and what the, you know, rules of it were. Because in this is you set these Roman numerals, and then there's like this time frame of how long you're there with that last numeral. And it's still kind of this, like, you seems like you just disappear and then come right back. But there's this interaction. He was talking to younger Duncan. He was talking to Miranda and Benjamin. In the comics, when you use the time shift key, I don't think there are Roman numerals. I think it was actual numbers. But they were set between, you could only use them from, like, there's a certain date in, like, 1771, which is when the Black Door was opened for the first time or whatever. And then the last date was 1999. You couldn't go past 1999 because there just wasn't a dial for 2000 or whatever. Like, it just, like...
Was 1999 before the current time of the comic?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you couldn't go into the future.
Well, like, yeah. But even, like, there's, like, a gap of time because they, right. That you just couldn't get to because it wouldn't go past 2000. And then the way that it worked is you could see if somebody's using it. Because they're, like, whited out. Like, they just kind of look like a white, like, whited out version of themselves. Like, a white outline of themselves standing in front of the thing. Even though it only, like, takes just a few seconds. Again, it's an in and out. Mm-hmm. because I remember, you know, there's a point of Bodhi coming and seeing Tyler and Kinsey using it and being like, you guys were turned like super white for a few seconds and he came back and they're like, for a few seconds, we were gone for 2 days. and that was another
makes
thing.
Sense.
Is they,
you could come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a time. And that was another thing, is how long you could stay. There was no way of setting the length. It was kind of just tied into your mind of using it with, you set the date and time of whatever you're going back, and then when you were ready to come back, you just decided to come back. There was no time frame that would pull you back. And then another thing that was really interesting was when you traveled to another time in the comics, nobody there could see you. You couldn't interact. They couldn't see you, hear you, whatever. You were just a watcher. Oh, you were like, they just looked like ghosts.
Like a ghost, yeah.
Floating around, falling, you know, so there was no interaction. So whenever Bodhi was, you know, said, wow, and Benjamin turned around and was like, who's there? I was like, well, that's already kind of weird and different. It's like, that's not supposed to happen. So the fact that you can interact in the show with the people in the past, I'm wondering if they made that change on purpose to kind of fulfill some kind of story that they're wanting to tell here. So
yeah,
in the comics, it was literally just to go back and watch.
Maybe he'll actually have an interaction with his father.
Yeah. So, and then the fact that you're only there for a certain amount of time, I think is going to add some kind of drama or stakes to something that they're trying to do, because that was also not in the comics.
Right. Yeah, something done fast or something.
Yeah.
Interesting. So they're kind of changing how it works in and playing around with that. Have they done that with some of the other, I don't know if you remember, does anyone remember if they've done that with some of the other keys that we've seen in the comics and in the show?
Yeah.
Kind of changed the
head key's a lot different. And in the comic, their head popped open like a cookie jar.
Well, I remember that, but I mean, it's still kind of, what it could do was the same. It just, how you accessed it was.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it just, I guess it was a similar effect, but it was just so different.
Very presented. Very shocking to see that on a comic book page with their head just like flipped open like a.
I was waiting for that in the show. The Harlequin,
the identity key is different.
Yeah,
oh, it was that's a
gender
right.
key. It was a gender key in the comics, and they changed it for the show. Just
the Harlequin thing was a wardrobe, not a chest. But I think it's still the same idea.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's interesting. So it'll be interesting to see why maybe they made that choice versus what was in the comics.
Yeah. And like I said, there's like a whole, I think it's like volume 5, the 5th compendium, whatever, you know, you break it out into the 6 parts, was, you know, focused on the time shift a lot, where most of that book is Tyler and Kinsey going back and they learn a lot. That's them finding out all of the colonial stuff, all about the, you know, the original makers of the keys and what happened to Black Door, finding out all of that. And then they go back and watch everything with Rendell and his friend group and what happened and how Dodge is, what Dodge is now, and learn.
It's like
all
a
about,
way to have a flashback, but it's
time
travel instead. Have you read the Sandman Lock and Key crossover comic?
I haven't yet.
Me neither. I think that's the only Lock and Key comic I've never read. I want to read that. So like a 5 or 6 issue series, I think, or was it just one?
I'm not sure. I do need to look that up.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
I'm curious.
Maybe they'll cross over
Sandman.
The Netflix shows.
I haven't gone through Sandman, so I need to do that. I've been watching the show. I'm like halfway through, but I never read any of the comics, so I do need to look into that.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Yeah, just kind of, talk about the time shift was the big one, obviously, and then some of its differences that I'm sure will come into play, the reason they changed those things.
I bet it will. Cool.
All right. So next week, which it will be a week from now, we'll be covering Lock and Key Season 3, Episode 3, 5 Minutes Past, which sounds like a timey kind of a thing. So that's exciting.
It does. I guess that's, we're going to jump right into the time shift key, I'm guessing, based on that title. Yeah, I'm not giving descriptions anymore. They're either super spoilery or so super vague that it's like completely pointless. So I didn't even look. Well, we are excited for you to follow us into Key House, but until then you can follow us on Twitter at StrangeTCast.
You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/StrangerTCast.
You can email us at strangerthingscastpod@gmail.com, and you can also find us on the TV Time app.
And you can find Strange Indeed and a bunch of other great podcasts at podcastica.com. And please go out and leave 10 reviews for Strange Indeed on Apple Podcasts. Just sign in with 10 different emails, 5 stars each. Thank you.
Yes, please and thank you. Well, and I know that there's a lot of great things happening over at Podcastica. Like you said, a lot of great podcasts already there and a lot more coming. Mm-hmm. And I think, Jason, you
and
also...
Greg and Penny just put out an intro for She-Hulk today.
Oh.
So that's cool.
Yeah, that's great.
And I know you and Kristen just recorded an intro for House of the Dragon, which I think will go out tomorrow because we just got our podcast art finally. So,
yeah, now we just need music. So,
oh yeah, you'll figure that out.
I can't quite get it together right now.
I'll figure something out.
We're looking at it. So hopefully, we'll have that out very soon because it comes out this week. Anyway, I know, Jason, you have some information to share in regards to, because we've got some big thing happening with the Walking Dead finale. So would you like to tell our audience about that?
Sure. I mean, I imagine if you're a Walking Dead fan, you might have already heard me talking about this on Walking Dead Cast, so I won't go into too much detail. But the show's coming to a close. 8 more episodes. They start October 2nd and end November 20th. That'll be the final episode of the main Walking Dead show. So a bunch of us are getting together at this really cool theater in the Bay Area that's kind of like a big giant living room with couches and easy chairs. And they sell food and beer. And we're going to watch the finale together and process it together. And then we're going to have a live podcast afterwards. And Karen's going to be there and, you know, Lucy and a bunch of other people. So that's going to be super fun. And if you want to find out any information about it, you should go to podcastica.com/TWD finale party. Love to see as many people out. Yeah. I think we've got like 60 people so far. So that's a good group to watch this together with. But we'd love to see more.
Yeah.
And Paik, do you have a teaser for us this week for you and Daphne's podcast Run for Your Lives to share?
Yeah. This week, we're doing something a little different. Just it came from necessity of schedules being real freaking crazy this week, and we're like,
as it sometimes does.
It's like we're out of episodes and we don't have time to try to do something, so we're like, what's something that we can do that's super quick and easy we can knock out in 30 minutes but will still be fun? And we did a little research and looked online, and I guess there's a Daphne had seen some of it, I hadn't heard of it, but there's a Netflix anthology series called Two Sentence Horror Stories. In each episode, there's like 3 seasons of them, and they're like 20 minute long anthology style episodes of just different horror things. And so we were looking through those, we said, well, let's just pick one of these episodes kind of at random. We ended up going with one because of an actor, because Kevin Alvis is the star of it, which he was Javi here in Lock and Key, and then he is in Yellow Jackets as well. So we're like, well, yeah, he's within the radar of this universe of what we're in. So
that's great.
And she likes him because he used to be an ice dancer.
Yes, he was too. So, so we were like, well, let's pick his episode. And so it's just a 20-minute episode on Netflix. So it will be a quick and easy short episode for us to kind of break something down a little different and fun and have a easy and quick episode to put out. But also, we'd love to, since it's easy for people to watch, hopefully we can get some feedback and some thoughts from it. And
cool.
So what's going on with that? So, yeah.
It's great.
Say again the name of the show and then the episode.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. So the show is Two Sentence Horror Stories.
Okay.
I think we're doing episode 6 of season 2, which is called Fix.
Okay.
Cool beans.
All right. That is our show. Thanks so much, as always, for listening, everybody.
Until next time, I'm Rima.
I'm Jason.
I'm Paik.
And Harrison McCrow is Strange Indeed.
Fluffy bread, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real. But Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously, great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.